The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Hello and welcome back to the Potty Plotters Plotcast Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 12. I'm Julia.
And I'm Elaine, and I think that's the first time It's Only Tetanus 12 goes, isn't it, to get that bit right as well. Well done, Julia.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Yeah. Like a sound effect.
Yeah, well, it's because I'm sat in our new HQ, Elaine.
Isn't it lovely? Yeah. Gareth?
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
it's like a little oasis.
Yeah.
It's not quite so little. It's a 10 by 10 summer house.
It is, with a double door, windows as well at the front of the building, and one at the side that is an opener, and most importantly, it's really tall.
Yes, we did have it built with extra headroom just for you, Elaine.
There's nothing to do with my head, it's my height.
Yeah. I think you're fine. No, I think you'll find this might be a standard size.
No, it's not. We actually requested extra height on it, yes, because I was concerned about my poor friend over there whacking her head and my poor husband whacking his head because I'm surrounded by tall people.
Not today though.
No.
Because we sat down.
Yeah.
And we sat down in here because of the weather.
Let's not moan about the weather.
No, I'm not moaning, I'm stating a fact.
Because, as people know, we record this a couple of weeks in advance, so this is, what, a week after Easter, where we sat down recording this, and normally we sit here moaning about the rain.
Yeah.
You can sometimes hear the rain when it's hitting the polytunnel, because that's where we've been recording most of the episodes.
Yeah.
And for the last 2 days, it's been warm but breezy because we've got the back end of Storm Kathleen, which has hit the west of the country. So it's a little bit breezy, so we can't sit outside, but we can sit and look outside, and you might hear a gust of wind every so often. That's nothing to do with us. It's Kathleen when she's gone around the beans. But what a lovely day. I don't think I've said that this year yet.
Yeah. No, it is nice. It's a nice day, but a bit breezy, but it is warm.
So that's why
it's dry.
That's why we're a little echoey, because we are inside. We haven't got any soft furnishings on an allotment.
We will be having some new furniture installed at a later date, but since this was only put up 2 days ago, I've not had a chance to work on that one yet. I need to get on the old marketplace and see what I can find.
Yeah, good plan, Julia.
Nice bit of carpet.
Yeah, we do need that as a buffer.
A buffer,
maybe something on the ceiling.
What? A disco ball?
I was thinking
more a bit of carpet just to dampen the sound.
Carpet
on
the ceiling?
We're not turning it into a studio, you know. We're turning it into a nice place to sit.
That could be a nice place to sit.
Yeah, the requirement was when we went and ordered this that we could accommodate at least 8 men. We didn't mind about women. It was just us 2 and 8 men. So I think we
there's a party for you.
It's the Tuesday group, so when they're doing jobs and it's hammering it down outside, everybody can scramble in here and not have to sit on one another's knee.
No, it has been intimate in the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? Yeah. Because we did have a building that was actually bigger than this originally here, but it had all kinds of things. It had an old kitchen in it even. Mm. But then that really needed to come down because it was leaking from the roof, leaking in the floor. When we flooded, it came up quite high, and then we got mice moving in, and it was just, you know, it was beyond repair. So we moved into the shed next door, which is lovely, but it was very intimate with the gents on site, wasn't it, Elaine?
It was, yeah. So now we're back to a cleaner, brighter, nicer place to work.
Yes.
So it's going to be our headquarters.
Yes, the big shed.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Okay, in this episode, we're going to talk about tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to give you some updates about sowing zinnias.
Yeah.
And also, you've done your cosmos already.
I have, yeah.
And we're going to talk interplanting. And
is that a bit like what goes on when you go abroad as a teenager, when you go interrailing?
I think nothing like it, Gareth.
Okay.
No.
Crossbreeding.
We're squeezing little things into places, aren't we?
Right. That's a better way of putting it. Yeah. We'll explain a bit more in a moment.
And we've got a few messages in, so we're going to be answering those as well.
Okay.
So, Gareth, do we have to do this now, or is it going to be you all the time?
I think you should now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've done it often enough that you should have heard it enough now to know how to say it.
All right, okay. Well, if you've got any questions that you want answering, if you want to send us your photographs or tell us funny stories, we love all that. So get in contact with us either via Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, now X at Potty Plotters, TikTok at The Potty Plotters, email us naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk or check out the website pottyplotters.uk. Now, Gareth, what's all this Kofi malarkey again?
Well, you've had the cakey.
We
had the grand opening ceremony cakey.
Oh, yeah.
That was very good.
Yes, we were discussing that, weren't we? We were going to say, we're going to ask the listeners. So if you've got a chocolate eclair, I mean, I think they're quite universal, but they're little round ones. What are they called in your area? Because in our area, we have big ones that are called elephant's feet and little ones that are called baby elephant's feet. So what do you call them in your area?
Mm. If you'd like to keep this intellectual conversation going, you can support us by leaving us a tip. We can buy you more cakey, we could buy coffee, we could buy tea with it. And
we could buy a dictionary.
we could do, but you can get them online for free now. So you can go to kofi.com, that's kofi.com/thepottyplotters and leave us a tip, and we'll use it to buy confectionery and stuff like that with, to keep us going. And we'll give you a shout out and we'll love you forever.
Oh, that's nice.
Contact the Potty Plotters anytime on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Potty Plotters, or email naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk.
Let's have an update on everything that we've been doing.
All right then. Well, I'm going to start on peas, then I'll move on to broad beans. Yeah, and sunflowers too. And I might chuck a few other bits in. So I'm just now mentally, I'm working round all my greenhouses because we've been growing so many things, Julia, and leaving them in the polytunnel. Now, this is the first time, and it's so late, I haven't planted anything except one thing, which I'm going to tell you about. So I'm going to mentally now move round all the greenhouses, because what I've done is now move everything out of the greenhouses into the other way round.
Okay.
Right. What I've actually done is move everything out of the polytunnel into the greenhouses. Okay. So I'm going to get that in my head as to which one I'm in. So at the moment, I'm thinking about the green curvy greenhouse.
Oh, yes.
Now then, I set peas a long time ago, and those peas are now round about 8 inches high.
Oh.
And they're Shiraz, they're actually a Monge too, but they're desperate to be planted out. So this week, come what may, they are going outside.
Okay, can I just ask you a question? Will you protect them? Because obviously, with it being windy, do they need protecting outside?
Well, they'll get twigs anyway, because what I'll do is I'll put them firmly into the raised bed. I know exactly where they're going. But then what I'm going to do is I shall set twigs all round them. And that's primarily to keep the blooming pigeons off them, because they'll gobble them up in no time. So they will be going in this week. And I would suggest that anybody else who's growing peas the way that I have, get them outside, because realistically they're getting too leggy.
Yeah.
Now the other thing is, I've also got a little marvel, and they are mini peas.
Yeah.
Now they were going to go into a meal barrow, and they are ready to go into a meal barrow, which is a wheelbarrow with holes in its bottom, and I've filled it with multi-purpose compost. They're ready to go in, honestly.
Okay.
But they're in cell trays at the moment, so this week again, God knows what the forecast is, but they're going to go outside. And again, I'm going to protect them just simply with, I'm going to make a cloche and a net to go over the top.
Okay.
So they don't need any other support, because they don't climb, they don't need to.
Right. When you say a cloche, what do you mean by that?
I'm going to make hoops, and then I'm just going to put a net over the top.
Okay.
That's all, to keep the pigeons off.
They love
peas.
They do.
Amazing, isn't it?
No, you don't. But
no,
that's
hate
amazing,
them.
Yeah.
And then what I'm going to do is, I'll tell you about the broad beans. Now, I did the Sutton.
Yeah.
And the Sutton is, again, a miniature broad bean. And if you recall, we were talking about doing meal barrows. That's the thing that I did last year, where you and Gareth just sat happily in the warmth whilst I was outside planting.
She's never let us forget,
them.
Has she?
Well, to be fair, it was very warm in that tangerine area, wasn't it? I mean, it was less warm outside.
Yeah, when it was raining.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Right, okay. So what I did then this week, 2 days ago, actually, I planted the Sutton. And I've planted 24 plants in 2 wheelbarrows, which are now mealbarrows. Okay. So they'll grow up lovely. And again, they don't need any support. Now, the only thing that attacks them are slugs. So if they can climb up my wheelbarrows, that's fine. They can help themselves. Oh. But at the minute, there's no damage to them whatsoever. Good. So they're doing really well. Now, on top of that, I've got lots of shallots. Now, I've moved the shallots out.
Have you got lots of shallots?
You know, you sit there, Gareth, don't you? Just can't wait for a little old twiddly bit so that you can say what's funny.
Oh, it's funny because I was listening earlier to the last episode that we recorded when you were talking about loofahs and I just dropped in Loofah Van Dross. And I thought that was comic timing.
Oh, right, thanks.
Frustrated comedian, yeah.
Frustrated son.
Well, the shallots now, they've got tops on them. So again, I did them in cell trays, only in a little bit of multi-purpose compost just to get them going. Beautiful root system. The tops on them are around 4 inches already. Yeah. Now, I moved those outside of the greenhouse and they are currently sitting on a really sandy new raised bed. And all of them, that's 20 shallots I've got, yeah, will be planted this week. And they are simply planted up to their shoulders, yeah, but they are around 4 inches apart from each other. And that's simply because one shallot equals 4 daughters.
Oh.
Okay, and they're called daughters, but yeah, they're the ones that grow from them. So if you plant one onion, you get one onion and it's just a bit bigger than when you planted it. Or giant if you Kev plot too, because yeah, he's gone mad over his onions. He planted seeds, can you believe this, on Boxing Day, just thinking that he could get ahead of us. Yeah, because he thinks we're numpties and know nothing. Funny our world. Anyway, so moving on to the shallots. The shallots will give me at least 4 extra. So from every 1 that you put in the ground, you'll get at least 4 more. Yeah. So that's great. And they're ready as well. Now, on top of that, antirrhinums. So I've got antirrhinums, zinnias, and I've also got cosmos. Ooh. The cosmos, I've got to the right of me here. Now then, ooh, Julia, they are around, oops, they're dripping a bit.
Yeah.
In your new shed, they're dripping.
Never mind.
So these I've put into cell trays. Yeah. So originally I set them in seed trays and they take no time at all to go and get ready. Now I'm just having a look and I can't see the date on there, but it wasn't so long ago. I think it was about episode 7.
Elaine, I can see that they're actually forming flowers on the top. That's a bit of a worry.
That's not good.
No.
And that's simply because they've shot up and I'm trying to slow them down. So, my friend, suggestion. I think we need to take tips out.
I was just going to suggest that.
Tip tops when we were kids.
You're talking about your antirrhinums. I've got
no. I'm not. Well, these are cosmos.
But you were talking about your antirrhinums, and I've got my antirrhinums. If you remember,
yeah,
I'm growing the very tall variety that's going to be as tall as me, and they
three
are
3 foot.
Cheeky.
Just make sure I didn't say it. It's your friend over there.
Yeah, loose term. Anyway, I've got mine. Hang on a minute.
Okay, so you've got your antirrhinums.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Look at the size of them.
These antirrhinums are also probably as tall as your cosmos there.
Yeah.
And I would say they're 6 to 8 inches now.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to do with these, not only because they have gone a little bit leggy, but the thing that I want is more flowers.
Yes.
Now, I've got loads of them. They all germinated really, really well.
Okay.
So what I want to do is half of them, I think I'm going to allow them just to grow as they are and just pop them on into another pot because it's too...
So you're going to give them individual pots?
I'm going to give them individual pots because it's still too cold yet to put them out. So what I'm going to do is bring them on that way. But one thing that I am going to do that I've been, again, watching all that YouTube-y lark, and I've noticed that the proper flower growers, the professional flower growers, they actually pinch out the antirrhinums to get more flowers.
Okay.
So I'm going to start doing that.
So do you think you could do that with Cosmos as well?
Yes, Cosmos.
Because it's, they've only got like this, Julia, because we can't plant them out. Yeah. It's too cold, too wet.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do with these, and Cosmos is one of the ones that they talk about pinching tops out, and you know, you can do it for your zinnias as well.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's about creating more flower
blooms. Yeah, because the zinnias at the moment are only around an inch tall.
Yeah.
So they're fine, but again, I've moved them into the greenhouse to slow them down because it's too warm in the polytunnel. Yeah. I tell you what, there's no pleasing anybody, is there?
Anyway, right, let me just get this. I mean, it's not, you can't see us. I don't know why I've done this, because you can't see us, but...
Right, let's describe what you've got then. So you've got a tray there of antirrhinums, individually planted, and you've got 12 quite tall antirrhinums.
Yeah.
And the... Oh, my word. Right.
Sorry. Right, so what I'm doing is I've got my old craft knife that I use.
Looks
so
like a scalpel, doctor.
You say it's like a scalpel.
Yes.
I've been using this to take lots of dahlia cuttings, Elaine. Ooh, it's something else that I've got into in a big way this year. So all I'm doing is I'm going to count two leaves, or one, two.
So the pretend leaves.
The pretend leaves as well.
Included, so then it's your first, so above the first set of true leaves.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do is just above that joint where the leaf joins the main stem, I can already see that there are like almost leaves developing in that joint. So all I'm going to do is chop it off with my craft knife.
Oh, you see, now to most people, including me, that is quite brutal.
Did you feel a bit stressed about it?
Yeah, because I'm just a bit bothered. Right, so you've got the top, and the top part of the plant has got 2, 4, 6 leaves and quite a stem.
Yeah, so what I'm now going to do, Elaine, is I'm going to take the next set of leaves off the top part.
So
that I've
the bottom set of leaves on the top cutting.
Yeah, the bit that I've cut off, I'm taking them off. And now all I'm going to do is dip the end into some water, and then I'm going to dip the end again into some rooting compound.
And that's stuck to it now.
That's stuck to it.
Right,
and
okay.
And then I'm going to make a little hole
with your end of your knife, scalpel.
Yeah, and then I'm going to pop it in the hole, which is against the side of the plant pot.
And is that because it will support that bit?
It'll support it, and it'll also give the, when it starts to put in roots, it'll give it a kind of edge to find almost, so it'll help it root. And then I'm going to go all the way around this plant pot and take the tops off all these other antirrhinums, and then I'm just going to put it in a humidity dome. So I'm just going to put like the normal tops that we, the clear tops that we put on top
of
the tray.
Or you could do it with a plastic bag.
You could do it with a plastic bag, but it seems brutal, but I think I'm going to get more flowers out of this, Elaine. So, and if these root, I'm going to have twice as many plants as I started off with.
Okay.
So, but I think you can do this with your Cosmos and your Zinnia, but I don't know whether you can take the cuttings to root them for more plants. So that's something we need to investigate.
Well, why don't we just have a go? I think that's what it comes down. I mean, not necessarily now, because Gareth will be doing that signal, which is cut. You know when he puts his hand across his throat, and he does that windy up.
Not going to do that today because someone's got a scalpel.
Right, but we're going to have a go with that. But in any case, I am going to take out the top. Really, I'm going to leave 2, 4. I'll leave 4 sets. No, 4 leaves.
Yeah, 2 pairs.
On it, and then I'm going to take the rest of it off anyway, and that will help this plant bush from its bottom.
We like a bushy bottom, don't we?
You might.
Hints and tips for shortcuts to success. The Potty Plotters Plotcast.
I know you've been talking about all the things that you've got growing, and you know we are running out of time here a bit, Elaine, but I'm just going to do a quick update on everything that I've grown, which a lot of it is in the polytunnel.
It is.
And I've planted in the ground in the polytunnel, and that's the beauty of the polytunnel. So whilst we've had all these conditions to contend with here, the polytunnel, I have been able to plant into the ground, into the soil. So what I am going to say is that the broad beans, the crimson flowered, which I love to grow just because of the colour of the flowers, they're already about 3 foot tall with flowers developing. The sweet peas that I've also got in there, they're also beyond my hip height, and I'm hoping over the next week or so we're going to start to see some flowers. Stop pulling faces. And I've also got 2 rows of peas in there, and they are developing peas and the pods are starting to swell. So it's all looking great in the polytunnel.
See, that's incredible, isn't it? Yeah. That just the difference of a piece of plastic makes such a vast difference. Yeah. It's not just a little bit. No. It's a vast difference, isn't it?
And that's the beauty of the polytunnel. So, you know, per metre, they are cheaper than a greenhouse.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, you can get them really big, and it gives you lots of space to plant. And the beauty of it is it gives you 6 weeks at the start of the season, 6 weeks at the end of the season. Really, you gain those extra weeks. So I just think it's a no-brainer. And also, the plants in there, they've not got to have, they're not contending with all the conditions outside. So I'm not having to protect them in the same way as I would from the birds. I'm not having to protect them from the winds. So, you know, it's ideal growing conditions.
Have you put beetroot in there as well?
I've also put some beetroot in the ground. I've set some radishes and I'd also got some lettuce that I'd been growing. So they are in and I've just really dotted them around in spaces that I can see developing. But the sweet peas, as you know, we've grown hundreds and hundreds of sweet peas, and I've now I've moved some out and we've had them hardening off in the cold frame, and now I've planted them outside around a wigwam. Now, one thing that I have done just to protect them while they've been getting going, I've set the wigwam and then about 3 or 4 inches around the outside of that wigwam, I've almost put like a netting just to protect them as they're growing. So the netting is on the ground just to protect them. So, yeah, that should help them get going. So they're going outside and, yeah, everything's looking lovely.
Well, it is looking lovely, and it's fair to say we had a week last week where we got really stuck in, didn't we, to doing all of the plots. We've had a load of compost delivered, so we're ready to do tomatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, now then, did we mention tomatoes?
Can I ask a question at this point?
Yeah.
How are my tomatoes doing?
Well, I've just been in the polytunnel about an hour ago, Gareth, and the slices that we did for you at the moment are a no-show. Now, I'm thinking it's because it's been so cold and dark. I know that spring's here and spring has sprung, but to be quite frank, it's not been the warmest of weathers yet. So, I have had a look. I've put another top back on. So, you know, the recycled tops that we get. So I've put that back on again and let's see what the next few days bring.
But don't worry, Gareth, because we have set our tomato seeds as we would normally do, the ones that we get in the packet from the suppliers. And we've got hundreds of varieties.
Yeah, but I really like that one.
Mm.
Oh, you know, it's like taking a child shopping, isn't it?
I want that one.
I want that one. Well, you're not having that one. We're going to give you
the last one. What are you giving and we'll change the label.
I might notice the difference. I might notice the difference.
I will.
Right, anyway.
I will. Well, we're on comedy programmes.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave us a tip at ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. That's ko-fi.com/thepottyplotters. And we'll love you forever.
Elaine, are you going to tell us about the emails we've had in and the communications?
I will, yeah, because we've had a lot this last week. So what I've done is I've pulled some of the points out from different people because I thought they were really important to answer the questions that they've got as well. So we've had an email in from Ela Chowan from Birmingham.
Yeah.
Now, she's told me how to pronounce her name, which I thought was really helpful.
Yeah.
Because we do get people from different parts of the world and we think we know how to say words, but then it's the same in this country, isn't it? We still get our words muddled up.
Well, you know,
it's like Dahlia, Dahlia. You know.
I was just thinking that. And can you remember, was it Nigella Lawson who called microwaves microwaves? Mm. I mean, that's just not right, is it? So, you know, it's easy to go wrong. So I'm glad you helped us out there.
I don't know if I could actually even think of being similar to Nigella. But anyway, it's a lovely plant and you've planted Nigella as well, haven't you, talking of which? Right then. So she writes to us and says, "Hello, I love your podcast as you always have me rolling around laughing. I love gardening and I'm about to leave teaching and I'd rather be gardening and listening to you both. You bring me cheer, fun and joy from being downtrodden And brow beaten at school. Oh, my God. I'm only laughing with fear.
I was going to say, it's a hard job being a teacher.
It is, yeah. And it's nice that she can enjoy our podcast instead now. I'm leaving a greenhouse and veg garden at school, but look forward to learning from you for my own veg garden. I have started on your back catalogue. I haven't got a back catalogue. I could do with a new back, I know that.
You got a Freeman's catalogue.
Freeman's. We used to have John Moores as a child, actually.
Who?
Yes, anyway. So, we'll carry that on again. So I have started on your back catalogue to laugh and learn some more. I also love what old buggers keep telling me to do section. It is true. I think she means the woulda, coulda, shouldas.
Yeah.
Because they do appear, don't they? Yeah. They love it at this time of year, coming to tell us what we should have done.
They've already been for a bounce in this shed.
Have they really, my friend? How interesting.
You said, oh, this floor's a bit bouncy. I said, oh. Well, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, suggest that they lose weight and get out. Right, they can't help themselves. Yes, we know that. I get it all the time. Well, yes, look at you. So, you are a breath of fresh air. That's nice. That's just getting, there's plenty of it today, I'll tell you. And are you doing any talks in Brum or nearby?
I'm not sure you're allowed over those county boundaries yet.
Anyone invites us?
I think you have to be invited.
Oh, well, we
can't just rock up in Birmingham. Can't just rock up in Birmingham and do a talk like that, you know.
I can talk like that if I need to. I think that's more Dudley. But anyway, that's not very good. So, I did have a question, please.
Oh, okay.
Now then, listen to this. I love Cosmos. Get super excited at the seedlings coming up, and then they get a bit leggy or die off. They never look as healthy as those on YouTube. What am I doing wrong? Do they need a bit more heat? The same happened to my zinnia. Happy potty plotting. Many thanks.
Aww.
That's nice. Right then. Okay. Well, I would say, first of all, it sounds like the seeds are being grown too quickly and therefore in heat.
Yes.
So when the seeds have germinated, put them somewhere cooler.
Yes.
I.e., like I've just been saying, move them out of the polytunnel into a greenhouse where it's cooler. And then this is some weeks ago that's how mine have ended up this tall. But are they in the light?
Yes. Well, what concerns me is this, you say that they're dying off. And I'm wondering whether they're dying off because you're not taking the cover off them as soon as they've been germinated.
Yeah.
So as soon as you see the seedlings start to emerge, take that cover off, because that is what will cause damping off issues if you leave it covered over. And also, don't go too heavy on the watering. People tend to go really heavy and thinking plants are thirsty when they're not thirsty. So always use that little finger test, stick your finger in, make sure it doesn't need, you know, make sure that it's not too dry but not over watered.
Yeah, because sometimes the seedlings are dry on the top but they're actually wet underneath, aren't they?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's quite a lot to go at, but hopefully Ela will listen again and keep us informed as to how she's going on.
Yeah, and of course, as we've already discussed, you can then nip the tops out if they are going a bit leggy. You can nip the tops out, which will force that growth downwards, so that's always good. But what I would say, Ela, is I noticed that you've said you've left a greenhouse behind and a veg garden. You should have taken that greenhouse with you. So try and find yourself one, because you can never go wrong if you've got a greenhouse. And our advice to you on a greenhouse is get yourself some WD-40, because you need them for your nuts.
Contact the Potty Plotters anytime on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Potty Plotters, or email naughtycorner@pottyplotters.uk.
Person who's contacted us is Zoe Harrison, and what she's done is she's added a picture of cooked rhubarb. Now then, she's sent us this photograph of cooked rhubarb and thanked us for it because when we've been going out to do talks lately, we've been taking a homes full of rhubarb. Yes, I know, Gareth. Yes.
But it is like a rhubarb farm down here. It grows like a weed, doesn't it? And we love it, but we know that lots of other people love it but perhaps struggle to grow it. And also in the shops, I remember looking in the supermarket and they put it in plastic packaging and it was £1.50 for three stalks. Now, Elaine, we could literally...
Stalks doth not make a crumble.
Exactly. And, you know, if we were selling them, we'd be millionaires by now, wouldn't we?
And we're not selling it.
No, no. We love to give it away. So when we've been along to these talks and we've literally come away with bundles and bundles. In fact, some of them that we've been taking are as tall as me. And yeah, I could literally live underneath that that leaf that we've got on them. So we have been giving them away. And to be honest with you, we've nearly been killed in the crush, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Because all we say is, this is for you. And then before you know it, they've gone. Yeah. But isn't that lovely? Because when people say, well, why do you do it? The answer is always, because we can. And it's lovely to be able to give stuff away that other people might want.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. We've also had a message from Jen, haven't we? And she says, hey guys, hope you're well. I'm a curly hairdresser and had a regular in today.
See, that does not sound curly right, does it? A curly hairdresser.
Is that like a curly whirly?
It conjures up pictures.
She asked if I'd heard her shout out on your show. So I thought and thought, and then the penny dropped. You did read her message, which said her hairdresser had recommended your podcast. I'm that hairdresser. So glad she tuned into you, Jen.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Fancy yours. I mean, when I have my hair cut due next week, let me just point out, is that my hairdresser just says, I mean, the first thing she usually said is, what we're doing today, and I give her that look. I mean, I'm not in a butcher's, am I? I'm not in the supermarket. What are we going to be doing today? The clue is I'm in a hairdresser's and you're my hairdresser. And now she just looks at me and she doesn't even ask. And I just say, cut it.
She's perhaps expecting you to kind of zhuzh your style up and...
Zhuzh it? There's no zhuzhing about this, Julia. No. Yes, anyway, so that's what I actually say. And then she starts talking about, where am I going on holiday? Well, as I used to, I'm going to tell you this little story because when I was about 11, my best friend at that time was Sally Longbottom, and no, she didn't have.
No. No, okay.
No. Right, so Sally lived in a great big posh house in the village where I was brought up. And so after the school holidays... You see, Gareth's getting his tissues out now, isn't he? Because he's just dreading.
Oh, it's his phone. Watch, yeah,
yeah, he doesn't know what's coming. Yeah. So, anyway, Sally Longbottom. So when we'd had our six-week school holiday and we all used to go back, we were all sort of suntan because in those days the sun used to shine. Oh. Yeah, honestly. Over those 6 weeks. And Sally, she used to say, ooh, where have you been? And I used to say, well, where have you been? And she said, oh, I've been to the Maldives. Now, obviously, I don't know where anything is, not even now in this world, truthfully.
No.
No. And then I used to say, oh, I've been to the allotment, because I used to think that everywhere was like a big allotment.
Did you used to think that you could get the allotment in like a brochure?
Yeah.
We were talking about your geography earlier as well, weren't we?
Because, it's bad.
Well, yeah. Because we were talking about... We were talking about the fact that Storm Kathleen, which we are suffering the ends of at the moment, was coming in from the west, and you looked at us quite puzzlingly, and we went, did you never used to use the never eat shredded wheat at school, or naughty elephant squirt water?
No, because I always had Rice Krispies, so no. No.
Naughty elephant squirt water?
No, no. Okay.
I think this is going to take a while to teach you, Gareth.
Which would explain why when she's in control of the wheel that you get lost.
Exactly. We get lost everywhere.
Frequently, frequently. Mm. But I do want to say that it's not unusual. It's not unusual. I'm not going to say that.
No. He's still alive. He might charge me.
No, but I think the allotment's a great place to go on holiday. And isn't it funny when our friends and relations see us, they always say, where have you been? And we say, the allotment. And I always say, well, it's the allotment tan for 2023, 2024, because you do. I mean, some of it is muck, I'll give you that. But but you do develop a nice colour, a healthy colour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's much cheaper than going to the Maldives.
Yeah, and you've not got to go to the airport and queue up or anything.
No, you don't have to queue really to get here, do you?
And we've got a bar that's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
There you go.
If had another message in. Great to see you at Longeaton U3A last week.
Now, before you go any further, just explain what U3A is.
Right. U3A is the University of the Third Age. So I don't know what age you have to be to qualify. I think it's either 50 or 55, but it's kind of people who meet, and it's the University of Life, really.
It is,
but they meet in local places, and they've got kind of all central groups, but then a lot of them have got groups that side shoots off them. So they've got gardening groups, history groups, all kinds of groups anyway. And we have been invited to do quite a few talks with them. Was this the one that we went to that was a little bit strange where they got no men, Elaine?
Yeah, it was the gardening group.
Yeah,
but so there was not a man inside.
No, it was the first time we've ever been to a gardening group without one man. One man. And I don't know what they did with them. But anyway, it was full of ladies.
Yeah.
And one of them, called Julia, wasn't
not me. You.
No. She said, "Where can I get the red robin seeds from? Or plants? I can't find any
of them." Don't ask Elaine.
Yeah. And when parsnips have been started off in the plastic boxes, when do you plant in little pots before putting in raised beds?
Okay, well, I don't mind having both, actually.
Yeah.
But the red robin seeds, if you go online, you can get loads of them from different places, and in particular, King's Seeds, which is where I get mine from. And I think there's one called The Seed Shop as well. Amazon, there's loads of different places, but look for red robin dwarf tomato seed. That's what you're looking for. They're quite expensive in comparison to some of the other seeds. When I say that, they're just £1 or £2 for about 15 seeds. I've had 100. Yes, I know. It's just how I am.
Are you becoming a tomato baron?
What I'm hoping to do, Julia, is when we go out to do talks, to take some plants with me.
So you know, remember a couple of years ago where you couldn't get any fresh fruit and veg? Is this where you're now stepping into?
Yes.
Like supplier mode?
Yeah, that's me, yeah. Because I think I might as well have them.
Yeah.
So that's how greedy I've been. Now then, these parsnips. So let's go back over. We talked about parsnip seeds, as we do sweet peas as well.
Yeah.
And all that you do to get them germinated, parsnip seeds are notoriously difficult to get germinated. So all that you do is you get a takeaway box, put some kitchen towel on the bottom of the box, spray it, wet it, and then sprinkle the seeds on there. In fact, we do about 8 boxes at a time, don't we? Because we've got a game up here called Pass the Parsnip.
Yeah.
And then what we do is, having germinated loads, we give them away. But what you do then is put another piece of kitchen towel on the top, dampen that, and then clip it too so that it's completely airtight. But they will take about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks to germinate. That means that they start to form roots. Then they start to form shoots. Then all you do is take them out, pop them into multi-purpose compost, and I put them into cell trays.
Yeah.
So I do 1 or 2 parsnips per cell tray. And then what I do is I will, not yet, put them into a raised bed that's never been mucked.
Okay.
All right.
When you say putting them into cell trays, are you not, you're not doing them in the sixes, are you? The
no.
big cells?
I'm doing them into tiny ones, and there's probably about 30 cells per cell tray, which is like the A4 size.
Yeah.
And all I do is stick my finger in, drop the germinated seed, gently cover it up, water it from the bottom, and then leave it. And I've put mine actually in the greenhouse at the moment.
Okay.
And the good thing is, Julia, that they've slowed right down, and now they are forming their true leaves. They look like parsnip leaves as well. So just have a go at that and see how well it works, because last year they worked really well in that I was able to transfer them through that method into the allotment in the raised bed, another raised bed, and they work really well.
Brilliant, well done. Because parsnips, like you say, are hard to get germinated. They can take up to 8 weeks to get germinated if you plant them directly in the soil. They're quite a faff to plant, so on a day like this, you'd never plant them because they're so light and fluffy, they'd fly away, wouldn't they?
They do, and this, the way that I'm going to do it means that I can then plant them in the spaces that they need to be in, i.e. every 4 to 6 inches apart, because I've got some big ones.
I'll leave that thought with you. You are clever, aren't you?
Top-notch advice, no Latin included. The Potty Plotters Podcast.
Into planting, Elaine. It's not into railing. There's nothing to do with railways. It's about making use of all the spaces on your allotment, isn't it?
It is, and not a lot of people do it, but we're trying to encourage more people to do it and make use of the space that you've got. So we've done some at a community adventure that we've been on with, and what we've done is we've planted rows of carrots.
Yes.
Now then, either side of the carrots, they do take a long time to get going and get growing.
Yes.
But then either side, we've actually planted radishes.
Yeah.
And when we went up yesterday,
they're already through and they're actually ready to take, aren't they? So I think we were looking at about 6 to 8 weeks and they're already ready to take. So we could sow more radishes in the place that we've taken them out, or we could allow the carrots to now develop. And the next thing is, you could think about things that grow very quickly and plant them in between things that take quite a long time to get going. So you're not wasting the space, but also, you know, it's stopping any weeds growing.
So that's a good
thing. It's a good way of doing it, isn't
it? So parsnips, for instance, take forever to get going, don't they? But once they get going, but bearing in mind it's what now? April, May, and they're not going to be taken until September, October time.
Yeah.
So what I do is I plant, believe it or not, spring onions.
Oh.
Yeah, so I put rows of parsnips and then in the middle of those, just put the spring onions because they don't take. They're probably about 3 to 4 weeks, all done, gone.
Okay.
And you can do lettuce as well.
Yeah, you
could
do the cut
lots of different
again,
things.
Yeah.
But one thing I am going to just quickly say,
she's got a finger out, Gareth.
It's because it's just reminded me. I did see somebody do the wrong thing, and that was planting carrots in between potatoes.
Oh no!
Now, what's the problem with that, Julia?
Well, the problem with that is, of course, you want to earth up your potatoes, which means cover them over with the soil that is surrounding them as they're coming through to protect them from turning green. So in doing that, you're obviously going to disturb the carrots that you planted, and the carrots won't get growing.
And sometimes it's only when it's pointed out that it's obvious.
Yes.
It wasn't you, you're safe.
Thank you. You would have told me anyway. And talking of planting potatoes, we've still not got them in, have we?
No.
I know we're working a little ahead of the schedule, and hopefully by the time this goes out, we will get them in, because it is getting desperate now and everyone's walking around going, well, I've normally got my potatoes in. Well, as I said to the starters today on site, if you put your spade in and dig a hole, you'll see that that hole is full of water at the bottom. So you're just dropping your potato into water. Well, that's no good. It's going to rot. So although this traditionally is a time when you'd look at it, it's not going to be the end of the world if we hold them back another couple of weeks. But we will get them going eventually, and worst case, we'll just set them in tubs.
The other thing is that if we do have a potato shortage, what are we going to do about crisps?
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters.
Well, thank you again to everybody for listening and for getting in touch with us. We really appreciate it, and we love to hear from you. And, well, next week, Elaine, what's coming up?
Dahlias. We're going back to the dahlias that we started off forever ago, and I've moved some already, clue, into the greenhouse. And then we'll let you take a snipping or two, maybe.
Thank you.
Oh, and then we're going to be planting out. Gareth, we're going out onto the plots. Beetroot.
Oh, I was getting excited then.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, did I tell you about my beetroot the other day? That
lots and times.
Oh, yeah.
No. I opened it, Gareth, and I flicked it like you usually do, and it was full of hot air.
Well, no comment from me.
That's a true story. Did you write to them, Elaine?
Yes, I've written to them.
Have they sent you some hot air back?
Yeah. No, I've asked if they could actually bag some sunshine and send me that instead.
Wouldn't that be lovely if you could order sunshine?
I'm just saying.
The Plotcast Podcast with the Potty Plotters is an Amberland Media production.